Jesus,
forever.
Be your throne surround. Lord, please deserve a mansion rule. One more time, singing mansion rule, a crown. There I know it be peace and love will always abound. Let me be your thoughts around. Lord, please deserve mansion, room, and crown.
Amen, 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 amen. Good morning to everyone. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. God is good. And we thank him for blessing us to be here today. We are very sorry about the inconvenience of the restrooms. I guess you got the memo. We are working over here on the freeway, and they did something, didn't tell us what they did. And so we don't have restrooms in here today. So I guess you think I need to be real short. Do you love God?
Yes.
I really love the Lord. Sing it with me if you love the Lord. Well, I really love the Lord. Oh, yes, and you don't. Thank you, Father. Oh, yes, he gave me the victory. Yes, and that's why I love. Yes, I love him. Yeah. Really love the Lord. He watches over me. And he watches over me. Oh, well, he watches over me. Yes, and you don't do what. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes, he gave the victory. Yes, and that's why I love. Oh, I love. You love the Lord. Yes, I really love the Lord. Oh, yes, and you don't. Yeah. Oh, yes, he gave me the victory. Yes, and that's why I love the Lord. I love him. I really love the Lord. Oh, yes, and you don't know what he's done. Oh, yes, he gave me the victory, and that's why I love the Lord. I love him. Oh, yes, the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. We want to say good morning, especially to our visitors. Thank you for being in our presence this morning. We hope and pray that your experience here at the Fieldwater Church of Christ will be one that will be good for you, but great for God. And we'll acknowledge all of our visitors at the end of our worship service. Thank you for tuning in to our television program, to our live stream. God bless you. I've entitled the lesson this morning, Our First Order of Business. Our First Order of Business. I'm still on some foundational lessons. The beginning of the year, I want you to turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 28. And we're going to begin reading at verse number 16, Matthew 28:16. And the scripture reads, but the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee. Now, it was 12. It's, at this point, it's 11 because one, Judas had hung himself. This is after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we're getting to the latter part of this gospel book of Matthew. And it says, the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had designated. Jesus told them where to meet him. And then the scripture says, when they saw him, they worshiped him. That would be the appropriate response. When they saw Jesus, especially now that he is risen, they worshiped him. Yes, yes. But then it says, but some were doubtful. Oh, these are the 11 now. And some of them, it didn't say how many, but it was more than one. Because it said some. I wonder, do we even sometimes come to worship even in doubt? In doubt, what? Doubt in life, doubt in God, doubt in Jesus, doubt in, should I even be here? I wonder that sometimes. I mean, maybe it probably is true, because sometimes some people come with just because somebody asks them to come, or they're a child and they come in because their parents got them coming and they don't know what they believe. But you know what? Keep worshiping God even in your doubtfulness. Yeah, keep worshiping God. I know we might as well tell the truth. You know, I grew up in the church, and I know that was some time I used to come to church and I was like, you know, is this what I need to be doing? But yeah, you said that. I said it. You thought it. I just said it. But you know what? I thank God that I kept coming to worship. To worship. Now, do this. Let me get sidetracked. This is not my lesson. But worship is reserved for God. Worship is reserved for God. And sometimes we worship people and things better than we worship God. Admire people. You know, respect people. You know, though, respect people's talents and their gifts and their contributions. But don't salivate over people. And surely don't worship any person. Please do not worship me. I am not worthy to be worshipped. All you do is stay around me a little while, you realize some of them. You hang around anybody, I don't care who they are, what they do, how much talent they have. You stay around them long enough, you'll find out she do that, she does that. Something wrong with them. So nobody's worthy of our worship but the Lord. This is, brother Ray, as I get older as a preacher, this is why I see why preachers preach so long. Because you see, it gets you off your topic, but you see something that just make you say it. Ooh, my goodness. This is verse 18. And Jesus came up and he spoke to them. He spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me. He says, all authority. Yeah. All power. See, Jesus says, now, certainly he could say it at this point, because he's actually risen from the dead. They see him, some doubt, maybe they're scared or whatever, and he makes the statement to him. He says, listen, all power, he says, in heaven and on earth. And so if you say, well, who should we be listening to? It should be Jesus. Because Jesus has all authority. And he makes this bold statement. And then he goes on and says a passage that we're all familiar with. Many of us are familiar with. He gives them a charge. He says, go therefore. And I'm reading from the New American Standard Translation. Some translations say, teach all nations. The original language is to make disciples. So he says, go therefore and make. It is the first thing. He said, first he says, now all power. I have all power. He said, now this is your first order of business. And he gives a directive directly to them. Notice he started off with the 11. And it is a directive also to us, because he tells them, say, you make disciples. And so, see, indirectly, it's the same charge he gives to us. He says, your first order of business is to make disciples. And when you make a disciple, the disciple is supposed to make disciples. Amen. Yeah, and that's the first thing he told them. He says, he says of all the nations, and the nations, the original word, it actually says nations, but it's a term that means all to all the various groups of people. That's what he's saying. He says now. He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And he says, lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world, of the age. See, the first order of business for us as children of God, those who've named the name of Christ, is discipleship. Is to make disciples. That's the first order of business. Is that important? See, and I know we want to, Brooke, you know, you teach me how to, you know, I need to know how I need to live, and how I need to know how to be a better employer and employee, and I need to learn how to get along with my husband, and I need to know how to get along with our first order of business is to make disciples. So what we need to really do is define what a disciple is. Yeah, we need to know what that is, because it entails so much. It really does. He says, to see, the disciple is a word that means, it means learner. It's a learner, follower. Learner, follower. I really love follow, because you can learn and still not follow. But to see, you can see some, and you know that, right? You know that's right, because some of us in the church, they probably at the 11 o'clock service. They're not here right at the 8 o'clock service. But some people know the Bible, but they sure don't live it. Amen? And so we're talking about this. We want to get this full definition. If we are to make disciples, you can't make a disciple if you're not a disciple. And I want to really reiterate the importance of this, because there are other terms in the Bible that identify Christians. We call Christians, we call believers, we call saints, we call brothers and sisters. But there's none more than disciples that identify as Christians in the Bible. In the New Testament, 230 times just in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, 230 times the word disciple is used. 28 times it's used in the book of Acts. And it says that we ought to be learners. Yeah, yeah. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, it says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. And so that means that when we're disciples, then we are doing what God has told us to do. Yeah, yeah. And see, the first century Christians, they would have understood the word disciple as meaning an imitator. An imitator fully committed to the master or the teacher. We see example. Listen to this example. 1 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, I exalt you to be imitators of me. 1 Corinthians 11:1. Be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ. 1 Thessalonians 1:6. You also became imitators of us as of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit. Imitators. The disciples is a pupil, learner. You're an imitator. Listen to Paul's language in Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. Philippians 3:17. Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. See, making imitators of, listen, see, and this is why it's so important, because when we make disciples, we're actually trying to help a person be like us as we are being like Christ. That's our first order of business. Lord help us, Jesus. See, now what we don't want to do is to make is to do like the Pharisees do. Listen to Matthew chapter 23, verse 1. Stay with me this morning. Matthew 23, verse 1. What we don't want to do is do like the Pharisees did. Listen to this. Then Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses." Verse 3. "Therefore, all that they tell you, do and observe. But do not do according to their deeds, for they say things and do not do them." Lord, that's dangerous. Yeah, it's dangerous. Yeah. And sometimes we need to check ourselves. Sometimes we need to check our own self. All of us in here, we know what's right. We know what's, a lot of times we get on our soapbox, even with our children, folks on our job, and we trying to tell them, "You need to be doing this. You need to study the Bible. You need to come to Church of Christ. You need to come to this." We telling them what they need to do, and we are hammering home. But then we go out and act, say, do something that contradicts what we're teaching. Everything that is said or done is guided by the Master. Don't we need to grow? Don't we need to keep growing? This is so convicting to me. Studying this is so convicting to me. I said, "Lord, I need to watch. You know, I need to watch everything I say. I need to watch what I do around my children, around my grandchildren. But I need to watch what I need to tighten up some of these loose words." I don't know who came up with the phrase. I didn't research it. You know, the long time they start wearing all these braces, everything WWJD. You know, what would Jesus do? It was so popular. You know, even folk out in the world were saying it. I tell you what, it had a lot of power. Yeah. Yeah, we should be saying what would not only WWJD, we need to say WWJS. What would Jesus say? What would Jesus do? What would Jesus say? We need to say WWJT. What would Jesus teach? See, it's everything. This is in Colossians 3:17. "Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father." Talking about discipleship. And I'm preaching about this because I think you know that we need to do a better job of discipleship in the church. Yeah. We need to do a better job. And it's not to beat up anybody. I'm just thinking out loud. I'm trying to study and understand what God would have us to do and have us to be. And we need to teach this from the beginning. See, I'm reading confession and baptism. When someone is converted to Christ, when we introduce someone to Christ, he told them to make disciples. See, we're not just trying to baptize folks. See, you know, I hope that doesn't come out from the pulpit, from our leadership, that we're trying to increase our numbers. We're not just trying to have numbers to baptize people. Listen, see, now, when somebody is baptized, they've heard the word, they believe it. Those are the things we do in our mind. We do that from the heart. We hear passively. We're listening. We believe. But confession and baptism are really the first acts of a disciple. Confession, you know, in the Bible, and it says in Romans 10, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession." With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. When they heard the word of God on the day of Pentecost, they asked the question. They said, "Well, oh my goodness," they were pricked in the heart. They said, "Men, but what shall we do?" They verbalized it. What shall we do? It's a confession. See, and baptism, and then we're baptized, and he that believeth and is baptized. In other words, but we're not trying to make secret Christians. Yeah, when we become a Christian, it's a public act. Yeah, it's a profession. We confess with our mouth. I believe. I'm a believer. We're not bragging, but we're saying that now I am becoming a disciple, a follower of God. I'm changing things. Yes. And so when we're baptized, see, baptism today, it really kind of lacks the risk and the courage that was required in the first century. Now, we know that baptism is for the remission of our sins. Acts 2:38. It's for the forgiveness of our sins. But baptism is a public act. It is a declaration. It is a declaration to the world. It is a declaration to our friends. It is an act that says we are now going public with our relationship with God. Yeah, we're going public. Yeah. We don't have to get on a loudspeaker. Even confession. And remember Jesus says in Matthew 10 and verse 32, he says, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. And we're talking about disciples. And so we can't be down low Christians. You know, we can't be, well, I'm going to be a Christian, but I don't want nobody to know. That's not a Christian. I tell you what, it's certainly not a disciple. Yeah, and so we're saying when we're baptized, that discipleship begins with a full commitment. Yeah. It's serious business. I don't care. Even if when our kids get baptized, when if you're old enough to know the plan of salvation, you're old enough to respond to it, then you're old enough to live it. Amen. Yeah. And so. So we're talking about making disciples. I was reading a book. It's a book from a guy. His name is Bill Hull. It's called A Complete Book of Discipleship. It has some good things in it. And he states that most churches miss the mark in their approach to discipleship. And he makes a statement that discipleship is God's primary work. It's the first art of business. And it should be ours. He said, discipleship is not a program. It's not an event. But it's a way of life. You know, sometimes we say, well, we're finna start our discipleship program. And we want our members to go through the discipling class. And that's good for them to go through the discipling class. But we don't ever graduate from the discipling class. It's something that we do. It's not for a limited time, but a lifetime. Amen. It's not just for beginners alone, just for new converts. It's for all believers to be disciples. It's not just one thing the church does. It's what the church does. Yeah, being disciples. Yeah. Yeah. And so I'm hoping and praying that we as the Lord's church can be better disciples, that we can learn how, notice this, the Bible says, and I know somebody will take exception to this, but the Bible says when Jesus told him to go and make disciples. That's what the scripture says. He told them to go and make. Now, we can't make anybody do anything, but the scripture says that through the power of the Holy Spirit, the influence of our lives and how we live and how what we say and what we do, we literally have the power to make disciples. And I've seen evidence. I see evidence of it all the time. You do never underestimate your influence in what you are doing literally every day and what you are saying every day around people, around your kinfolks, at the family reunion, on your job, wherever you go. Never underestimate your influence. Because it is our influence that opens doors and creates opportunities for people to be made disciples, followers of Jesus Christ. Because, see, Jesus is not here on this earth, but we are. And people see us. This week, Brother Dwayne Basie, he probably wouldn't want me to say it, but he know I will say things that I see, brother. Yeah, just this week, Brother Basie was here, and a sister came by. Or, well, she wasn't a sister. A lady came by, and she was in distress, deep distress. And Brother Basie started to minister to her, tried to get her to stop crying, and she was just in bad shape. And he did. He did. And she stopped crying. And he asked about her relationship with God. And one thing led to another. And he taught her the gospel. Taught her the gospel. And she was baptized. Yeah. Yeah, she was baptized. And I'm pretty sure she's going to be at the 11 o'clock service. And yes, I mean, a lot of you know Brother Basie. He's got an unassuming demeanor. Be quiet. But he loves God. And I don't, you know, this is not to call him out, but I'm just saying that he loves God. And if you sit down long enough with him, he gonna tell you, he gonna ask you about your relationship with God. And so he talked to her, and the sister had another friend, couldn't speak English. And she wanted to tell her about the Lord. But no one was here to speak English at the time. And so Brother Basie made arrangements and said, listen, we can teach you the gospel. And so he called Brother and Sister Alexander, Keenan and his wife. They normally attend the 11 o'clock service. I don't see them here right now. Sister Alexander speaks fluent Spanish. And they came over a couple of days later and taught her the gospel, and she was baptized. Yeah, the gospel still works. And sometimes we forget what we had. Some of us, we've been members so long, and there's still power in the gospel. There's still people that want to be saved. It's still our number one art of business, and I'm saying that because you see. How opportunities are created starts with us. We either have to open our mouth or live in such a manner that people feel drawn, comfortable talking. We're not trying to beat them up with something. We're trying to give them the truth, the good news of Jesus Christ. And then he and I was talking in the office, and he was telling me about one of his nephew. His nephew's is sick and troubled in every way, and he says, I need to talk to him. And see now, this is his nephew. You know, some of you, Brother Basie, his sister is a member. I don't know if his sister is here. I think she comes to 11 o'clock service. But Brother Basie was baptized in the Lord's church. Most of his family was not. Probably all of his, none of his family was baptized in the Lord's church. But ever since he's been a Christian, and then some of you don't know, bro. Well, some of you, I guess he said, I'm telling all of you business. I might well tell it now. Is that, bro? Basie, he went through some hard times. I say some hard times. He was in the army, and overseas. He came back home, and he was out there. When I say out there, I mean way out there. Trouble in every way. And my wife and I, KB, she's known him, you know, most of his life. And we got married. And he met me. This is before he went to the army. And he knew that we were Christians. We didn't beat him up with the Bible. But my wife would always reach out to him. And when he came back home, he lost his way. He lost his way. And we went looking for him. We say, you know, Sister Kavy said, we need to find a way. And we found him in the hospital, the Veterans Hospital. And He wasn't far from dead. He'd been addicted to drugs and it was during the holidays. And we went and we prayed with him. We sang a song. And he said to us, I need to make a change. And we couldn't study with him while he was in the hospital. And I said to him, when you get out of this, the day you get out of this hospital, we need to have a Bible study. And he allowed me to have a study with him because of the way we treated him before that time. And we studied with Brother Basie. Well, I studied with him and taught him the gospel. And he said, I'm ready to be baptized. And he was. He was baptized. And Brother Basie, he allowed me to mentor him. See, discipleship is also submission. See, it's submission to transformation. The Bible says in Romans 12, verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable. See, discipleship involves submission to transformation. See, and see, the first century Christians would surely understand this. Some of the monasteries were the monks. They had students. The students were not even allowed to say anything the first year they were under the teaching. All you do is follow, learn, listen. Don't say nothing. Do what I do. Do what I tell you to do. I don't want to hear that. I don't need nobody telling me what to do. See, disciple Jesus Christ came to this world. He selected 12 men to become his disciples, and they submitted to his will. They found, bro, basically, the first 2 years of his Christianity, he literally went with me. We went to classes. We went to gospel meetings all over the town. He went to we Bible studies, fellowship. He allowed me to mentor him, and I allowed him to go with me because I felt responsible for his maturity in Jesus Christ. What are you saying, Bro Gary? Listen, the Bible says this in John 13:16. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is the one who sent it greater than the one who sent him. And as disciples, we need accountability. Yeah, we need accountability. I'm not talking about true Bible discipleship. See, we need accountabilities because we need training. And training involves repetition. And that requires discipline. And that's why we need somebody to hold us accountable. Amen. In true discipleship. See, in other words, we need somebody to check on us. We need somebody to challenge us. We need somebody to say, hey, brother, what's going on? And see, and then, but we can't do that if a person don't allow us to do that. Now, we're not making anybody do anything, but we are being true disciples and accountability. See, Hull said, he put it this way in his book. He said this, accountability can serve as our best friend even when we don't want our friend to be around. It's like having a lifetime chaperone. And I know that may sound much to you when it comes to living the Christian life, but see, now, one of the things about it, now, we shouldn't stay in this condition always. I promise you, Brother Basie don't follow me everywhere I go right now. I don't want him following me everywhere I go. I don't want him with me all the time. I was not with him when he studied with this. And I didn't finish the story. His nephew, he taught him the gospel on Friday. And his nephew was baptized this past Friday. Somebody ought to say praise the Lord. It's the gospel still works. There's still people who are hungry for the truth, who are hungry for change, who are hungry for seeking a new light. And if we would be disciples, we're going to make some disciples. But accountability means submitting ourselves to at least one person and giving that person permission to ask us questions, to keep us honest, to keep us on the path that leads to transformation. It's the first order of business for the church. It's the model that God left us to change this world. And I don't know. Sometimes I'm almost tempted to not preach hard sermons that's going to leave people with feeling. But you know what? This is what's going to change the world. We're coming to church and singing songs and listening to a sermon and hearing, getting a good feeling, and we're going to doing the same thing. Not going to change nobody. It's not going to change your family. There are some of us in our homes right now. We need some changes in our homes. We need some transformation. Some things need to change, and it's going to start with somebody. Yeah, and so we're challenging the church. We're challenging us to be the true disciples that God has called us to be. Yes, yes, the powerful influence that God has given us. And stop shortchanging ourselves. Yeah, we can. You say, "Brother, I'm single, and so what? You single? Jesus was single. Paul was single. Amen, somebody. Yeah, we have the power to change our surrounding by being a disciple. And you know what I'm finding out? Is that what people are tired of the fakers and the shakers. People want the truth. They want a difference. They want to see that this works. Yeah. And so I want to end with this. The same passage we started with. In Matthew 28:19, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Of all the various groups of people, make disciples. If you're single, make disciples. If you're married, make disciples. If you're young, make disciples. If you're old, make disciples. Yeah. Whoever we are, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things. Yeah. All that I've commanded you. Yeah. And we don't need to teach nothing that we're not doing ourselves. And he says to us, he says, I'm with you. I'm with you. Yeah, because, you know, sometimes it's not easy being a disciple. Yeah. He said, but I'm with you even until the end. Even until the end of the world. Our first order of business is to make disciples. Make followers. Make learners. I remember I had as a goal, as the husband in my household, as the leader in my household, I had as a goal when we started having children, wanted all my children to be Christians. Do we have that as a goal, as fathers and mothers in our home? Yeah, that's where we start. Yeah, all our children. We can't make children. You know, we can't force it on them. But one of the things we might need to check ourselves on. See, our children know when we not for real. Yeah, our children, and you know what? Children don't like that. Now, you might get away with it when they're real small, when they little and they real small. You might get away with bringing them to church and telling them to be quiet and we going to church. You get away when they small, but after a while they sit in them chairs and they looking around and they see how you acting in church and singing and speaking and being nice, and then when you get home, you talking about everybody in the church, at the church, the preacher, the song leaders. That's you, Brother Ray, Brother Ray. Yeah, you talking about people in the church, you talk about people on your job, you lying on the phone. Oh, she not here, she's sitting right there next to you. Then you talk with each other crazy. Yeah. Yeah. Then you say, it's time for you to get baptized. Now, you need to be a disciple. And you know, and you know, a beautiful thing about it is not only children, people are forgiven if we humble ourselves. See, sometimes we need to sit down and say, you know what, Dad haven't been all I need to be. I may not have been the best example, but one beautiful thing I have in Christ, I can ask the Lord for forgiveness of the sin. And in your presence, I want to ask the Lord to forgive me for not being who I need to be for this family, because I want us to go to heaven. And I want you to go to heaven. You got to have a relationship with God for yourself. Now, I can't make you. You do it on your own. But I don't want to be in the way. I'm at fault. I'm sorry. I sinned. Lord, forgive me. Somebody in here needs to be a Christian. You come by faith, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you're willing to repent of all your sins, to confess Christ, to be baptized in water for the remission of all your sins, and then we go on this journey together. Don't be overwhelmed. Don't think you have to know the whole Bible in one day. You don't have to know the whole Bible in one day. But we all ought to be growing in the Lord. Amen? Amen. You here today and you need to come, won't you come? If you're here today and you want to get something right, get it right as we stand and sing.
Have you been to Jesus for the clear?